Of the many stories making headlines in Michigan, the financial miseries of Detroit are relentless and unforgiving. Yesterday, officials said the city won't run out of cash this month, as earlier predicted. But Deputy Mayor Kirk Lewis says the city faces an even bigger than expected cash shortfall by the middle of next year. This all seems to make the prospect of Chapter 9 bankruptcy for the once proud city seem to grow with each passing week. But what would bankruptcy actually mean, both for residents of Detroit and for everyone else in Michigan? To help answer these questions, we welcome Detroit News columnist Daniel Howes and Mickey Maynard, author of The End of Detroit, How the Big Three Lost Their Grip on the American Car Market. Daniel, you have been sounding a steady drumbeat of warning in the pages of the Detroit News about the possibility of restructuring that would include Chapter 9 bankruptcy. Now, that word bankruptcy is used pretty freely. What would it really mean for a city like Detroit?
Well, I think it would mean a lot of things. It would mean clearly a very unforgiving restructuring process, because it would go out of the political, be much less political, and be judged and overseen by a federal judge. It would be very difficult for the image of the city. It would be the largest municipal bankruptcy in the history of the country. When you twin that with the bankruptcies of General Motors and Chrysler, it is a pretty large stain on this state and on this city. It would be very difficult, probably last about at least 3 years, judging from earlier bankruptcies, which were of much smaller cities, very expensive. Some lawyers that I've talked to think we'll easily get in the hundreds of millions, low hundreds of millions of dollars in legal fees. And as I said, be very unforgiving to the employees, to some extent to the residents. It would be a very difficult process. And I think it would affect a lot of people. It would affect state bond ratings and certainly the credit ratings of neighboring localities like Oakland County, which has got the best credit rating in the state.
And when we say that about bond ratings and credit mm-hmm. ratings, how does that hit the person living in Grand Rapids? How does that hit them in the wallet?
Well, it costs their governments more to borrow money. And I think what's really, really important for state people around the state to understand is Detroit has no money. And if you go into traditional bankruptcy, you need to fund restructuring. And in a corporate setting, that's called debtor-in-possession financing. And that's usually a basket of money that's put together by a group of banks who have agreed with the business model and the restructuring plan and come forward with that. In the case of Detroit, that debtor-in-possession would essentially be the state of Michigan. Therefore, the money that would fund the restructuring and help Detroit pay its bills and get through that period, which could be a multi-year period, would effectively be backed by and or come from the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. It would be the DIP lender. There is no TARP and no federal government standing there waiting to do this. There are no consortiums of banks from the private sector that would fund a restructuring in Detroit. The restructuring would most likely have to be funded in some measure by the taxpayers of the state of Michigan.
I know, Mickey, as an automotive writer, you saw GM and Chrysler in similar straits. Do you hear echoes that kind of sound familiar as you hear these headlines about Detroit?
Absolutely. I think if Detroit were a corporation, it would already be in bankruptcy. Mm. This is a situation that a lot of listeners are probably not familiar with, the different types of bankruptcies. So if I can take a second, I'll just explain what we're facing. So if you're a corporation, you would go through Chapter 11, which allows you to restructure and reopen. If things are bad enough, like Hostess, mm-hmm. you go through Chapter 7, which essentially you liquidate and find buyers for your assets. With a municipal bankruptcy, we're talking about something called Chapter 9. There's a whole set of the bankruptcy code that just applies to this situation. One of the issues that Detroit faces, though, is nobody this big has ever gone into a municipal bankruptcy. You've had them in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You've had them in Orange County, California, and some smaller cities in California. But we're talking about a different animal here. And while I agree with Dan that the state would probably be the first line of funding for this, it's such a unique situation. And the fact that you're dealing with a federal bankruptcy court, that I think the Obama administration will at some point get pulled into the situation, possibly not directly, but certainly indirectly, because if you think about General Motors and Chrysler, how important Detroit is to the Obama administration, the city of Detroit with a black Democratic mayor is going to be probably equally as important. So I see some sort of federal role in this. I don't know yet what it is because we're not there. But I don't think this will get all the way to the finish line without the federal government weighing in some way.
That's an interesting point of debate. And I understand the reasoning of why Mickey gets there. And in some senses, that makes sense. What's been described to me by some bankruptcy lawyers about Chapter 9 and the differences, two things that are important here, I think. The Chapter 9 law is only 11 pages in the bankruptcy code, which is about 4 inches thick.
Wow.
It has not been explored very much. In fact, in this district, the Sixth Circuit of 4 states, they've only been able to find one example where this has been done, and it was in a hospital district. It is not something that is widely used. The judges who sit on the court currently have never seen this kind of stuff before. So I think that's a very important point to keep in mind.
So new ground is being broken.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing that was pointed out to me, which gets to the federal point that Mickey's making, is that under Chapter 9, because it's government entities, the 10th Amendment of the Constitution comes into play here. So there are limits to what the federal government can do in terms of what it can tell states it has to do. Mm. And this is the way you have to manage, let's say, a Detroit bankruptcy. And federal bankruptcy judges in these situations are loath to get involved in governance issues. They will look at financial aspects and restructuring, but they're not going to tell the city of Detroit or the state of Michigan how they have to manage this, because that would could be perceived as a breach of the 10th Amendment of the Constitution.
So it's like a minefield.
It's new territory. And one of the most interesting things when you read the bankruptcy code is it says that the judge does not replace elected officials. It is not supposed to affect any political bodies that are already in place. Well, if you look at Detroit, one of the whole issues with Detroit is the relationship between the mayor and city council. Mm-hmm. So if essentially a judge is, you know, just like your mom who you go to every so often to say, okay, you gave me $5 in allowance, here's how I spent it. You know, mom's not going to get in the middle of it between you and your brother. So if we just have a trustee or an overseer or however you want to think of the federal judge, but all the political infrastructure is left to fight it out?
To fight it out.
What good is that going to do?
Well, but what the federal judge can do, she's absolutely right, but what they can do is they do have the power to abrogate contracts.
That's right.
Ultimately, so they could do some of the things that the old Emergency Manager Law, Public Act 4, that's been set aside would have done. He's able to do that. The judge is also able to say, you know, the city can't afford X and Y and Z, therefore we find in favor. The third problem with Chapter 9 in the context of Detroit, as it's been described to me, is it's not clear who's in charge. Because of the charter, and just like in any kind of bankruptcy filing, you have a debtor. Mm-hmm. Well, who would the debtor be? Would it be Mayor Dave Bing or his successor? Would it be the city council president or the city council? Would it be the corporation council, Crystal Crittenden, who appears to be running the show in a lot of ways, or at least having veto power over various decisions and proposals by the mayor?
A non-elected
It's
person.
Almost – there's this legal thicket that surrounds the 11th floor at City Hall that makes it much more difficult to even figure out who you'd be dealing with. And as I talk to people in Lansing, their concern right now isn't so much city council. Well, that is a politically dysfunctional body. It's the corporation council, because she seems to be in a position to be able to block and stop anything that they try to do to move the ball forward. Meanwhile, as you said in your open, the financial situation worsens and worsens. We've now found out that they would go from $47 million deficit by June of next year to an $84 million deficit. And by the way, this is an administration that consistently gets its numbers wrong. It consistently underestimates its spend and overestimates its revenue.
And that's one of the issues. If you do get the federal courts involved, we will get more transparency on the Detroit situation. We may see things going back years that we didn't know about. And, you know, a lot has come out in the trials of Kwame Kilpatrick, but there may be things stuffed in closets about the financial condition of Detroit that will have to list all of its contracts. There's going to be stuff that gets sunshine that has never gotten sunshine before. And Dan was saying earlier, 3 years I think 3 years might be optimistic.
Oh, I think
this could go on for the rest of this decade.
Yeah, I think she's right. I mean, we don't know.
Yes,
I mean,
sure.
That 3 year was thrown out by a guy I talked to a lot who looks at what's happened in California, particularly that's where most of these have happened, have been in California. The Harrisburg case that she mentioned was one of the few contentious ones where counsel filed Chapter 11 without the approval of the state and the mayor. Mm. So the federal judge kicked it and said, not, you can't going to do that. And actually, they're right now, they're getting another bite at the apple, which they may or may not take. But in a lot of these cases, particularly the Harrisburg case, the Central Falls, Rhode Island case, these states and cities were pushed over the edge because of specific issues. In the case in Detroit, it's just kind of a general financial collapse and mismanagement. And I think Mickey's exactly right. In fact, there are people that say that one of the reasons politicians are pushing back as hard as they are, I think one of it's control, and two is what are people going to find?
And I think that's why I mentioned the federal role earlier, because everything Dan was talking about with the different players in this, mm-hmm. that's all got to be straightened out before the filing takes place. I think the only person who can do that is probably the president or the administration. You have to get the governor involved. You have to get all the city folks. You have to get everybody in a room like they did with the auto companies back in 2009 and essentially say, this is what you're going to do.
I want to talk about Governor Snyder. First, I want to just let anyone know, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty, and with me today, Detroit News writer Daniel Howes and writer Mickey Maynard, and we're exploring the possibility and the prospects of bankruptcy for the city of Detroit and what it means for all of Michigan. Daniel, take us through the political challenges that are facing Rick Snyder right now and really the state legislature. Oof. Yeah.
Well, there are lots. And it's not just the city of Detroit. I mean, the governor, I think, historically has been Detroit's not going to go bankrupt. And this week he's starting to be more open about and raising the prospect and basically saying if they can't get some things on the table and dealt with, this city is headed for bankruptcy. And I think Rick Snyder faces a number of very difficult issues right now that will define his tenure as governor. This is one of them. The bankruptcy of Detroit and or the workout that they're going to try to engineer is going to be one. And the other one that he's facing, which is a little off topic, is whether or not there's going to be a right-to-work legislation in Michigan. Those two things will, I think, define his how he decides to go and what direction he goes will define his governorship, because Michigan and the city of Detroit will look very different when he runs for reelection than they do today, depending on which way he goes. But politically, I think the challenges for him in Detroit are enormous. There's also some real opportunity. You see what's happening. There's two things that are happening on parallel tracks here. As Detroit continues to collapse financially, you're seeing more and more private capital flooding into the city of Detroit. Dan Gilbert at Quicken Loans continues to buy up real estate. There's everybody from Blue Cross Blue Shield to the hospitals to Midtown to now the Illich family is announced a big their intention to develop something in the city of Detroit with the help of the state. Obviously, that's
Surely.
Kind of their style.
New home for the Wings.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. All that kind of stuff I think is a very positive, because I think the people who are making these decisions, these investment decisions, think that stuff's going to change. They're business people. They know that bankruptcy as a general proposition means a new start. Now, it either means the liquidation and selling off of a company or, in the case of a government, a restructuring. You can't liquidate a government. Creditors can't even force the sale of assets under Chapter 9 like they can under Chapter 11. Creditors can't file a competing plan of reorganization. They're not even called a plan of reorganization in Chapter 9. They're called a plan of adjustment. And the only people that can file that are the debtor, which would be some form of, as we discussed,
sure.
some form of city government. But it wouldn't be, let's say, a fireman or police pension fund that is a creditor, or it wouldn't be some bank that's a creditor. They can't do that. They can't force the sale of assets. They can't force the sale of Belle Isle to a developer.
I'm hearing Eminem in my head while I'm listening to Dan, because you get one shot. This bankruptcy of the city of Detroit is a one-time historic opportunity for a municipal restructuring. I'm just thinking about Dan Gilbert, the Illiches, mm-hmm. all the folks who are representing that piece of Detroit. I'm thinking about all the political folks. You're going to have a room filled with Detroit VIPs who all have the same objective. They want to see this city fixed because they've invested in the city. They believe in the city. They feel like this is a turning point for Detroit. I was just talking about this yesterday with someone, and I said, think about all the progress that Detroit has made since the bankruptcy and how its image has really turned nationally. That it, you know, of course, Detroit will always be haunted by RoboCop and crime and mm-hmm. the murder capital, but it's turning. The Chrysler ads have played a role. The hipsters moving into Detroit, Dan Gilbert investing in Detroit. Everybody's noticed that. And so if Detroit were to basically say that was just a blip in our history and we're going to fall into this abyss, that's a huge lost opportunity. On the flip side of it, there are people who really care, and that group might not have been there 5 years ago.
Huh.
So you have this moment. I really do see 2013 as a true turning point for the city of Detroit. Either it goes forward with everything that Dan was talking about, or it just slips back into chaos, the kind of chaos that we've been used to seeing for the last 50 years of its history.
And I'll bet on the first part.
You're betting on the first part?
Yeah, I think Mickey's right. I think it's going to turn. Where I think she and I would diverge is on the whole federal role. It seems to me that if a governor is not a legitimate inner cedar, if you will, in the situation in Detroit, a president of the United States isn't.
Well, I think there's a couple things that have to happen. First of all, we have this debate in Lansing over the public manager law and
yes.
also right to work. There are some people who think if you give the mayor the power to abrogate labor contracts again, that that's enough, that that's the real problem, and that will take care of Detroit. I don't happen to think that. I think we have to get into those finances. We have to fix that. We have to get sunshine in on those doings in Detroit.
To see what's buried under the rocks.
Yeah. So that's the first. There's two things for listeners. So people in Grand mm-hmm. Rapids and mm-hmm. up in Flint should watch for two things. First of all, what happens in Lansing with Public Act 4, with the emergency manager law, and or right to work. Second, watch for payless paydays in Detroit, because payless paydays can trigger a whole bunch of actions with bondholders, with lenders, with others. So kind of make mental notes on those two things. If you see no action on right to work or the emergency manager law, if you start to see payless paydays, then that's what gets us closer to the decision about a Detroit bankruptcy.
I think that's right. There's no question that those are the triggers. And another trigger, and that's actually on the table right now, is a missed pension payments.
Mm.
The mayor's administration is telling people we've got to deal with some of this quickly, and so this is going to happen pretty fast. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. I've pushed some bankruptcy people and say, what are the triggers? And there really isn't a single trigger necessarily, as long as is the state, and they kind of kite this thing along a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's a limit to what they're going to be able to do.
Many, many insights and lots. You've given us lots to keep our eye on as the weeks unfold. Always good to talk to both of you. Mickey Maynard, thank you so much. Daniel Howes, Detroit News, thanks for joining us in the studio here at Stateside.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.